Our modern day society is continually being primed and conditioned to receive and embrace the mark of the beast, the image of the beast, and the kingdom of the beast itself. Let's talk about it today.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, guys? This is End Time Headlines. I want to welcome you to the program. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. Listen, do me a favor real quick before we get into this message today. I want you to hit that like button, hit that bell notification, that subscribe button. Help us push this material out there on the algorithm so others can see it just like you. And of course, we want you to download our free app. If you've not gotten it yet, please go into your Play Store, depending on what device you have. It is available free on Apple and Android devices. Once you get the app downloaded, be sure to hit yes to your push notifications, and you're going to keep up to date with every single headline and every single podcast that we push out on a week-to-week basis daily. We are daily giving you information. We're giving you revelation. We're equipping you. We're informing you of the times and seasons in which we're in, and we want you to keep up with what's going on. So this is how you can do it. Just download our app today so that you can do that. So, guys, you've heard me talk about continually on this program, on this channel, on this ministry, that how society is continually, year after year, and you'd be surprised how much stuff comes out in 1 year. How you'd be surprised how fast technology develops. And this is all prophetic in itself. The book of Daniel tells us that in the last days, knowledge shall be increased. And we are the generation that is witnessing the explosion of knowledge, information, technology. It's all here. And I fear that because we are seeing a generation come up that is biblically ignorant of prophecy, of Bible prophecy in itself. And because of that, because they're biblically ignorant of these things, they're not aware of these things, they're not being taught these things, they're not being educated in these things, I believe they are the prime candidates and the prime recipients of the generation that we read about when we go to the book of Revelation chapter 13. There is an entire generation that will embrace the mark of the beast and the image of the beast. You know, some scholars say, well, people will be forced. Guys, again, we have said this before, make no doubts about it. It won't be just forced on society, but it will be gladly, widely, and willfully embraced by a society that will be in the earth when the beast of the system comes into full power and comes to full fruition. And I'm going to show you today how Satan is masterfully working his hands through technology, through innovations, through convenience, through security, through all these means to, again, condition a society to widely and willfully embrace his coming system in which he will implement during the, during the tribulation period. So let's talk about some of these headlines. Here is yet another report of artificial intelligence that has wormed its way into yet another church. This time it's not in America, it's in South Korea. This is a headline from the Straits Times. Quote, AI goes to church in South Korea and sparks controversy. Let's read a little bit about this. Artificial intelligence is going to church, and not everyone is happy about it. Some startups in South Korea have developed AI-backed Bible reading and prayer service apps. Again, this is according to the South Korean media, which include Meadow, which is a ChatGPT-based Bible chatbot, This is a service that has been developed by South Korean company Awake. That's interesting that it's called Awake. Meadows suggested Bible verses and customizes prayers for users based on the problems they discuss with chatbot. So there's just, and that's one thing you're going to notice about these chatbot GPTs and this, it is interactive. It is communicative. There's an exchange of communication with this artificial intelligence. It has become popular among, look at this, young Protestants in their 20s and 30s. Now, guys, what did I just say? I fear that we're going to have a whole generation that's going to come up that is biblically ignorant. It's not the older generation, 40 and older, that I'm worried about, because most of them, and I say most, and I'm pretty confident in this assessment, most older generation individuals like myself, 40 and older, have knowledge of Bible prophecy. Guys, even people that are not regular churchgoers, even people that literally don't call themselves Christians, they have a foreknowledge or somewhat of an idea of Bible prophecy. How? Because they've been introduced to it through their grandparents, their parents, maybe a local pastor, friends, associates, coworkers. Somewhere along the way, somehow, it's been introduced to them. But you think about it. Now we got into the 30s and the 20s and the teens, and being that churches have become lukewarm, they've become passive, they've become complacent, they've become a house full of ear ticklers, and they're not preaching or teaching eschatology, the study of end times. They're not touching the book of Revelation. They're not talking about any of this stuff. And a lot of them has been exposed recently with the circumstances and the situations that's unfolding in the Middle East. Why do you think, guys, that's why ministries like myself with End Time Headlines, our ministry has witnessed an explosion of new followers over the past month. Why is that? Because people want to know what this means prophetically. What does this mean in the end times? How is it relevant to them? How does it impact them? Where are we going? Where are we heading? Where are we headed? Excuse me. What does it mean for Israel? What does it mean for the Middle East? So this is what they're hungry for. This is why, in my opinion, this was the catalyst that sparked a 10-day revival in Gainesville at Free Chapel there with Jensen Franklin, because he started a series on end times, and consequently, it was orchestrated and ordained by God, because he set up this series right when the war broke out in the Middle East. So he had, I believe it was John Hagee, he had Jimmy Evans came in, and then he had Perry Stone. And then the night, so it was already building up. So you got all these people that are, you know, they're wanting the answers. So they're showing up in Gainesville. They're showing up in Free Chapel. And because of this, you had Perry Stone come on that third night, or that third week rather. And the night that he got up and gave his message, and Perry's old school like myself, so he still gives altar calls. He still believes in repentance. And he gave an altar call. He gave an opportunity for people that were away from God, or they were lukewarm, or they weren't right with God. He gave them an opportunity to repent, come to the altar, and have some time with the Lord. And because of that, this thing just kind of really broke out. And you had night after night after night. And it literally, other than one night, I think it was on a Saturday night, they went 9 days of revival services where people, and I had the privilege to attend. I did get to go one night, and I believe it was on a Friday. No, it was on a Sunday night I went. And my 50-year-old son was very impacted by the move of God. It was powerful. There was a presence there. God was moving. There was a real legitimate hunger for people that were seeking God, and they were looking for answers. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about the world, guys, is hungry. They are looking for answers. They're searching. And churches that are not teaching the book of Revelation, they're not teaching on end times, these younger crowds, these younger generation, the 20s, the 30s, the teens, they're not into this because they were not taught this. And listen, I blame the previous generation. We want to blame them, but I blame the previous generation because it is not, listen, you know whose responsibility it is for my children to be taught the ways of the Lord and to understand these things? It's me. It comes on me. It comes on my wife. It comes on us. We are to train them up in the way in which they should go. So my kids are not ignorant of Bible prophecy. When we start talking about these terms, Gog and Magog, the tribulation, the judgment seat of Christ, the great white throne judgment. My 15-year-old, now my 8-year-old son, he knows a little bit about that, but my 15-year-old son understands all this because he hears it from me. We teach him these stuff. So guys, we have a mandate to teach this generation. But watch this. Where there's this void of this, these churches are embracing the very technology that's going to be used, I believe, by the Antichrist and the false prophet in Revelation 13. So they are exchanging flesh and blood preachers and teachers and pastors for AI. And this is what this, again, why do you think when you have AI coming into your church, it's sparking controversy? Because you've got a rift between generations. And again, let's go back to this article. So here we see the young Protestants are embracing this in their 20s and 30s. According to the report, Meadow has also generated interest among some churches, according to an official from the startup. But not everyone is ready to embrace the technology. One concern relates to the potential for chatbots powered by generative AI to present wrong information as truth. Interesting. Such chatbots, which include ChatGPT, generate new text and code based on the data they are trained on. So, in other words, what that's saying here is there's always going to be a creator behind the chatbot GPT that is feeding them the information. That they're the mastermind behind this. So, what is the theology? What is the doctrine? What is the belief behind the one who's creating this AI and these chatbot GPTs and putting them into the churches? Because what has been installed in them is going to come out of them, and it's going to teach and feed the flock. According to this article, there was one instance where a professor at Chongqing University in Seoul said that he had found heretical beliefs in 10 sermons that was written by ChatGPT. Now, again, think about it, guys. If you have a crowd, if you have a congregation that does not know their Bible, they're ignorant of Scripture. Ignorant of Scripture, just generally, just they're not Bereans. They don't search the Scriptures. They don't read the Bible. Then they're not going to catch this stuff. They're just going to embrace it. They're going to accept whatever doctrine and whatever theology is taught to them. According to the report, there are also worries that the technology could completely replace pastors altogether, even though some pastors have started to use AI. There are also calls for churches to establish guidelines for the use of AI in religion. Now, Protestant Christians were the largest religious group in South Korea. Buddhists made up 17% of respondents, Roman Catholics 11%, and 2% followed other religions. Again, the remaining 50% of those in South Korea that were polled claimed to be of no religious affiliation. They also polled 650 Protestant ministers in South Korea, and 20% of them said they had used ChatGPT to, listen to this, guys, to create their sermons. And over 60% said they used ChatGPT because it was useful for generating ideas for sermons. Again, their idea for sermons was not birth in prayer. It wasn't birthed in their devotional to reading the Word of God and spending time with God. Their ideas were generated from an artificial intelligence system. Of course, South Korea is not the only country that it's experimenting with this stuff. In June of this year, around 300 people attended a 40-minute AI-generated church service that was held in a city in Germany. Now, we got a video on this, so let's watch this. I want to show you that this, again, this was this year. Again, this is a church in Germany, a small city in Germany, in which, again, there was a congregation of 300 that the entire sermon was artificial intelligence giving them a message. Check this out.
All right, this is what it looks and sounds like to attend a mass led by artificial intelligence. Hundreds of churchgoers attending that service during Germany's Convention of Protestants. The 40-minute service was put together by a 29-year-old theologian and philosopher from the University of Vienna. He says 98% of that mass was the product of ChatGPT. But the congregation said the avatar just didn't have the warmth that you're used to, right?
So again, guys, really creepy, isn't it? This is just creepy to me. I mean, how many of you guys, let me know in the comment section below. Please don't fail me on this. Let me know how you feel about AI as the pastor, AI as the speaker, speaking in a church, you sitting there for 40, 45 minutes, 30 minutes, 20 minutes. Does it even matter, really, honestly? Is it even an issue how long it is? But you're sitting under AI teaching and preaching the Word of God to you. I'd love to hear from you again on Rumble, YouTube, Facebook Live. Let me know. I know what the results of this, you know, the comments are going to be. But I would love to hear from the younger people, the 20-year-olds, the 30-year-olds. If there's any in the group, is any in the chat, hit us up in the comments. Let us know how you feel about this. All right, speaking of creepy, here's China yet again in the headlines, and they're wanting to build advanced humanoid robots by 2025. According to a report from Bloomberg, China's harbored ambitions for years to take the lead in cutting-edge spheres from AI to quantum computing. Now it has set its sights on yet another realm with sci-fi qualities, which are lifelike robots. Now, guys, this comes, remember, China is no stranger to leading the forefront of creating monsters from their nation. They created the Wonk Wonk that we all dealt with for 2 years and locked the whole world down. They have created an artificial sun. There was a report recently said that they were creating weapons that other nations won't even touch because they're considered to be so dangerous. And now, according to a new report, they're wanting to lead the charge. And this stuff is straight out of Skynet. I mean, this is Terminator stuff. Going back to my age now, we came out of the age of Terminator. Come on, we came out of the age of iRobot. It didn't turn out well. Anytime they started this stuff, the end result was not good. The country aims to produce its first humanoid robots in 2 years. Actually, it's a year and a half if you want to be technical. According to a blueprint laid out by the Ministry of Industry and Information Technology, the government will nurture more young companies focused on the field, set industry standards, and develop talent and deepen international cooperation. Let me say that again. International cooperation with creating humanoid robots by 2025. Shares of Chinese robot companies surge after the policy guidance, which adds another dimension of a technological race between the world's two biggest economies in chips and hardware. And then it tells you these U.S. companies such as Tesla. So Elon Musk is right in the middle of this. He's behind this, and Boston Dynamics. When you go on down here and read this, it said the policy document was short on details, but big on ambition. China also wants humanoid robots to, quote, think, learn, and innovate by 2027. So they want to roll them out by 2025, but they want them ultimately to be able to think, learn, and be innovative, excuse me. And it plans to establish a reliable industry supply chain system to support their manufacture. And of course, why do they want to do this? Because they envision these robots to handle tasks currently performed by humans, from picking up groceries, working in hazardous environments, and et cetera, and et cetera. Now, speaking of humanoid robots, everybody, meet Mika. She has become the world's first AI human-like robot CEO. According to FoxBusiness.com, while many workers worry about AI replacing their jobs, one company has gone as far as to announce it's hiring its first humanoid robot CEO. This is absolutely crazy. Mika is a research project between Hanson Robotics and Polish rum company Dictator, who customized the CEO to represent the company and its unique values. Here's a short clip on, let me show you Mika in action here.
Hello, the future of the workplace.
Hello, I'm Mika, the world's first experimental AI CEO at Dictator.
Mika is the newest employee and experimental CEO of a company in Poland.
My decision-making process relies on extensive data analysis and aligning with the company's strategic objectives. It's devoid of personal bias, ensuring unbiased and strategic choices that prioritize the organization's best interests.
Yeah, that's not creepy at all, is it, guys? Could you imagine going to a company and you have a company meeting and here she comes out and she wants to have a, you know, this is a company meeting, get your coffee, get your donuts, and we're going to go over the company's values, the vision, what we want to see for the next coming year. And here she comes, Mika comes out to meet you, to meet the employees. Again, this is, again, straight up out of sci-fi stuff that we've seen on the big screen, and all of it's now become a reality. So guys, again, I'm convinced that stuff right there, that technology, you think about that, all that technology is going to come into play. This is why I have such confidence saying this. Now look, could I be wrong? Of course, absolutely. But I stand behind what I say 100%, and I believe that that right there, that technology is going to come into play in the fulfillment of Revelation 13 with the image of the beast that will both speak and live and cause the masses to worship it. And again, we've talked about this so many times. The false prophet will give the orders and the people of the world will create this thing. And my friends, they've already created this technology. It's here, it's now, and it's readily available for the beast system. All right, let's talk about this. Now, remember, Satan has to somehow convince society to accept the idea of putting something in their right hand and in their forehead. So when I see articles like this, it absolutely leaps off the pages to me. Quote, scientists are developing an implant smaller than a crayon that doctors hope will cure cancer in 60 days. Again, what have we said before in these podcasts? The bait and the hook and the bait. There's got to be something that's enticing as bait to put on the hook, to be put in the jaws, to lure people into embracing and chasing after this stuff. Because again, remember, guys, I want to explain this to you. Satan comes as an angel of light. Remember that. He comes as an angel of light. It's going to look good. It's going to feel good. It's going to sound good. It's going to have all the bells and whistles. This is how he's going to convince a society to embrace it. So look at this. Put this implant in your body. It's smaller than a crayon. And it can cure cancer in 2 months. Now you say, well, Brother Ricky, who wouldn't embrace that? That's my point. Now you're getting it. Who wouldn't do that? Well, I can tell you who wouldn't. Those who understand Bible prophecy. I'm not going to put that in. No. You think I'm going to put an implant in my body with the hopes of it curing cancer? I don't want to be a guinea pig. You know how many times they have tried to put a pig heart in recipients for heart transplants and they've all died. It's not successful. They're doing some weird, and I'm, listen, if you think this is weird and you think people will be lined up for this, they're already lining up for implants. I'm going to prove that to you in just a moment, but I'm on this article, but I'm getting ready to get there. But let's go back here. According to this report from the dailymail.com, the device is implanted into the abdomen. Now, this is not the right hand or the forehead, but again, you see how this is conditioning you to put something in your body, implant. It goes into your abdomen. It's smaller than a crayon, and the researchers hope it will be able to communicate wirelessly with smartphones. Of course, right? Everything is, it ties back to your smartphone. Now, we got a video on this. It's going to give you more details on this. Let's watch this together.
University is leading a team that is developing a groundbreaking cancer device.
Yeah, the big hope is that one day the device could cut cancer deaths with immunotherapy by 50%. In Texas alone, 130,000 new cases of cancer are diagnosed every year. 42,000 people die each year from cancer. So the research at Rice could be game-changing. Sherman Chow is live at Rice University to explain. Sherman?
Yeah, we all know somebody impacted by cancer. And honestly, I got the chills listening to these researchers explain this device, which would be both a cancer detective and a drug factory.
She got chills. Did you hear that? Oh, it sounds so wonderful. It sounds so great. We could put an end to cancer by just putting this implantable device in our body. I've got chills from this. Wow. Again, how are they going to sell the mark of the beast, guys? How are they going to convince a society to put something in their right hand and in their forehead? Again, if you can sell it to them in national security, if you can sell it to them in the hopes of curing diseases, if you can sell it to them in the hopes of it being convenient, a security, convenience, health, all these things are, again, the bait that Satan is putting on the hook for a society to bite the hook.
Implanted in your body. The team is nicknamed Thor, the device, Hammer.
So this is actually a prototype of the Hammer device.
Meet two of the principal investigators of the Thor team, Rice bioengineer Omid.
Okay, I can't handle all the puns here.
Beza, and MD Anderson's Dr. Amir Jazari. They're working on the Hammer.
So there it is, guys. Look at that. This thing is called the Hammer, H-A-M-M-R, for you guys that are listening by Apple or by Spotify. Again, this is a quote, hybrid advanced molecular manufacturing regulator. Good grief. And that's why they're, again, that's where they're getting the acronym Hammer. So this is it. It's smaller than a crayon. And let's check this out. Watch this.
A small implant, maybe 3 inches long, carrying sensors to monitor often fast mutating cancer cells.
To get a real-time understanding of how are cancer cells changing so we can change in parallel.
The abdominal implant would also be a drug factory with live human cells already produced in biomanufacturing plants.
We know that we can program them to produce whatever biologic we want. And they'll be grown in a factory loaded into the device. And when they reside in the abdomen, they are alive, meaning they get nutrients from your body, just like your other cells that exist, and then leverage that and turn it into the drugs.
The Thor team of 20 labs includes Houston's, Rice University, MD Anderson, and U of H. It's
Now stop. In other words, guys, think about this. They have been creating this in over 20 labs. My question is, what else have they been creating or have created in laboratories in America, in China, overseas, that we have never seen the light of day of, that they're waiting to release it to the public? Are you hearing what I'm telling you? It's inevitable, guys.
Diverse, including folks from material sciences to AI to electrical engineering.
This device will communicate wirelessly with, potentially a smartphone and also be chargeable externally.
Essentially how your iWatch charges today.
Put the charger on your belly, basically, by magnet?
Exactly.
All this allows doctors to
react to what's happening to the cancer, in hours and days rather than waiting for months.
Which is how long it can take now for cancer test results. Perhaps most remarkable, Hammer should only be needed for 2 months.
So to me, that almost buried the lead, which is that if this works in 60 days, you can cure a patient of cancer.
Boom. Again, the bait on the hook. Think about it, guys. Who would not do this? If you've got a parent, a sibling, a wife, a spouse, a child who has been diagnosed with cancer, you think that people will not embrace this? Now you say, well, Brother Ricky, it's an implantable device that's going in the stomach. It's not in the right hand. It's not in the forehead. Yeah, but I want you, again, can we take a little journey to mid-tribulation when there is going to be a device or something in the right hand and in the forehead? What, if you think this kind of sales pitch is coming now for implantables, what do you think the sales pitch is going to be by the Antichrist and the false prophet and the kingdom of the beast, the new world order that is established during the time of the tribulation? What kind of sales pitch you think they're going to have? And who you think is going, when people are sick enough, they're broke enough, and they're scared enough, they're going to do things that they would normally not do under conditions that they're not being pressured to do. You got to hear me right here. I'm telling you, this is absolutely astonishing how close we really are.
That's the hope. Yeah. When immunotherapy works, the results are really dramatic. The cancer doesn't come back because now you've educated the immune system to fight that cancer.
Sounds kind of like science fiction, right? Well, keep in mind, right now for diabetes patients, there are implantable glucose monitors as well as insulin pumps. Kind of the same idea. This $45 million grant comes from the Advanced Research Projects Agency, and the goal is to be in human trials within 5 years.
All right, so get ready, because this stuff's going to be pushed out there, okay? So this is yet another brick in the wall of this stuff. All right, look at this. There was a journalist from Business Insider who recently took advantage of the palm scanning technology that Whole Foods has rolled out. And if you don't know about that, let's watch this video together, and it's going to explain to you what this is.
First came the credit card swipe, and then the tap, and now just a wave of the hand can process a payment.
So the future just keeps coming. Let's check in with
fast
Jason Carr in the carport.
How prophetic is that? The future just keeps coming, and it's coming fast.
Jason, what the mark of the beast is going on?
And look, did you hear that? We got to rewind that. Are you kidding me? Listen what this reporter says right here about this palm reading technology, and which enables the individual to make a payment with the scanning of their palm. And you have this reporter who makes this statement. Listen to this.
Carport. Jason, what the mark of the beast is going on?
What the mark of the beast is going on? And what is his response? And he laughs. They laugh at us, don't they? The scoffers will laugh at us. They'll laugh at all of us who are warning a generation of this very stuff right here. And look at that, right out in front and center, they're mentioning the mark of the beast. They're telling you all the warning signs are there. And this guy is the epitome of the world's reaction. They just laugh. They scorn. You've got even so-called Christians that will laugh at us for warning people about this. Let me go back to this.
Time when Elon Musk has monkeys playing Pong with their brains. Scientists are growing half monkey, half human embryos, and UFOs are becoming a more real phenomenon. This seems on par or even a bit subdued by.
Everything he just mentioned there, guys, is so significant. These people don't even realize how prophetic it really is.
Comparison or contrast. Amazon is rolling out palm scanners at one of its Whole Foods stores in Seattle. The technology.
Now, this is old because this was 2 years ago. Now it's not one, it's all of them. They're rolling them out all over. The reason why I'm showing you this video, because we recognize that not everybody knows everything that maybe you know or you're up to par with. There's people out there that they're older individuals, they don't know about this stuff. They're not educated on this. That's the point of our ministry, guys, is to equip, inform, and encourage. We want to do that of the times and seasons in which we're in. So just bear with us if you already know this.
Called Amazon One allows shoppers to pay for their purchases by holding their hands above a scanner. Before you can use it, you have to give the company your credit card information and palm print.
So credit card information that connects to your bank account of buying and selling, connected to your palm print. Are you hearing me? Buy, sell, trade something in your hand. Again, the conditioning of this, guys, is absolutely uncanny. Uncanny.
Amazon has been testing the system at its Amazon Go and Amazon Go grocery stores. The company plans to bring it to 8 Seattle area Whole Foods stores in the coming months.
And again, guys, from my understanding, this has been rolled out to most of them now. So a journalist, I want to show you this, a journalist from Insider, Business Insider, recently tried this herself. And look at this headline, quote, "I tried paying with my palm at Whole Foods using Amazon's future scanners, and it was, quote, scarily convenient." And here, you guys that are watching the visual of this, here, this is what she's showing here. Pay with just your palm. All you got to do is just to enroll. You scan the QR code, get that palm print on there so it's got all your information connected to your bank account, all that information. So I'm going to read this again. This is from a journalist from Business Insider. This is her experience. Quote, "Over the summer, Amazon announced that it would be rolling out its palm scanning payment technology to every one of its 500 plus Whole Food locations in the entire U.S. by the end of this year." Again, I'm going to skip over a lot of this because we've already went over this with the video. So in this article, she just journaled every bit of it. So she comes up to the scanner, and you can see here by the visual of this, you get guys on Apple and Spotify. Again, it's one of them times you need to come over here to the visual and check out what we're looking at. So you go up, you got your groceries, you got your product, you're getting ready to pay, and they've got a regular register that you'd see at a Walmart or a Target or a self-checkout with the scanner. But then over here to the left, you've got the scarily convenient method, which is this palm reading. From what I understand, this, I've never used this thing. Here is the section right here. You put your palm over this. But again, before you do that, you have to register it. All right, then you scan down here. So here's a close-up of this. She says here, quote, "I chose to enroll in person at my usual Whole Foods location." Now, can I just say, you know something I thought about? You ever wondered, this has to go into a database. This palm reading technology, the information, all this has to go into a cloud database. So you think about that. There's a cloud database that contains all the palm information, your banking account, your fingerprints, your palm prints. It has possession of all that information in this cloud. Gee, I wonder what could happen if that fell into the wrong hands. So here's a close-up of this. So this is what this thing looks like. If you guys have never seen this in person, which I don't go, we don't have a Whole Foods anywhere near where I live in Georgia. Or at least to my knowledge, I don't, because we don't really shop there. But here is here's the close-up of this thing. And I think this is interesting. If you look down here at the bottom, it says, quote, "Tap to get started. Amazon will securely collect and store your palm data to recognize you." Yeah, I bet it will. I'm sure it will. So anyway, this is what it looks like. Then she says, after hitting tap to get started, the device asks if you've pre-enrolled or not. So you have to enroll this stuff. Quote, after I tapped the screen, the device asked me if I pre-enrolled online or if I was not yet enrolled. I clicked on the ladder and I signed up there in the store. It then prompted her to insert a credit card or debit card. So this is where it connects her banking account with her palm information. Y'all see that? The palm scan is connected to the buying and selling method. So she went on to say that, quote, the device then went on to prompt her to hover her hand above the scanner. So this is, she took pictures of herself doing it. So it looks like here she started out with her right hand. Then over here, it moved to her left hand. So you see, and right here, she said, I scanned both palms. So again, the palm of her hand so she's scanning both palms. Why? So it can store the information. So then next time she comes in, she can conveniently use the left hand or the right hand. So after she did this, now here's a picture of her using her right hand to scan her palm to make the payment. Look at this quote. I've now used the payment method every time I've gone to Whole Foods since. Why? Because it's convenient. She said, quote, it works as advertised. I scan all my groceries at the self-checkout, scan my palm, and my Prime account and payment method are instantly applied. Then when I found this interesting. You scroll down here, it says, quote, my local Whole Foods had a sign posted notifying customers that biometric information was being collected there. Look at this sign. There's a sign right here with a palm over the scanner. And it tells you right here that it's all being collected. And people have no problem with it at all. Quote, I was initially skeptical of the technology, and I definitely still am. But yet you still did it. You still gave it all your information. It still collected your data, and you still enjoyed it. She went on to say that, quote, there is something about giving up a scan of one of your body parts that feels inherently vulnerable. Wow. The technology has been criticized by some, especially those with privacy concerns and worries that biometric data Amazon is collecting could be misused. Oh, but Amazon is assuring us, guys, that it is emphasizing that it will, quote, never share palm data with third parties, including in response to government demands, unless we're required to comply with a, quote, legally valid and binding order. Oh, you mean such as a tyrannical dictatorship that may arise one day? That will use this information against the citizens of the nations of the world like that? Is that what we're talking about here? She went on to say, quote, the more I keep using the technology, the more I have mixed feelings about how convenient it feels. Does anyone really need to have a biometric payment option at a grocery store? Definitely not. After all, we can already pay pretty easily with the tap of a card or a phone. Now, here's her closing thoughts, quote, but does it make breezing through self-checkout just a little bit more streamlined? Yes. And while I hate to admit it, I think it might be winning me over. Now, talking about winning society over to embrace absolutely nutty, if you think it's nutty and crazy that people are lining up embracing this technology, wait till you see this headline. Quote, thousands are reportedly lining up to have a portion of their skull removed and one of Elon Musk's brain chips implanted in their brain. Let me say that again in case you think I am embellishing this. Quote, thousands of people, this is from Business Insider, this is the same website where in which this journalist went to this Whole Foods and used her palm conveniently to make purchases. There's reports now that thousands have already signed up on a waiting list, have willfully come forward so that they can have a portion of their skull removed so that they can get the new brain chip from Elon Musk company Neuralink. Look at this. Thousands of people have expressed interest in receiving one of Neuralink's brain implants. This was according to Bloomberg from one of Elon Musk's biographers. Her name is Ashley Vance, who went on to say that she had visited Neuralink's facilities 10 times in 3 years and said the company had yet to implant its device in a human, but aimed to operate on 11 people next year and more than 22,000 by 2030. That's an interesting year. If you guys know about this, 2030 is also the 2030 agenda. This is the sustainable goals. The World Economic Forum, all of them, they want this year, 2030, is significant. Let me read that again. The implantable device is desired to be put in human trials, 11 people already signed up, by next year, and over 22,000 people are on board and willing and waiting by the year 2030, 6 years from now, or seven. Might as well say 6.5 if you want to be technical. And what's even more ridiculous is the U.S. Food and Drug Administration gave Neuralink the green light and approved them to launch human trials of its device that Musk has self-described as a, quote, Fitbit for your skull. The FDA had previously rejected Neuralink's bid for human testing back in March over safety concerns, but for some reason, they've changed their tune, and now they're approving it. I mean, let's just be honest here. Is the FDA even an organization that we should even trust anyway? I mean, are you kidding me? I don't even have time to even talk about that. We can talk about everything from the want vaccines to everything else. I mean, do we really trust the U.S. Food Drug Administration? We don't have time to go into that. It would take too long to 20 minutes. I could take 20 minutes and go through some of the crazy things that the FDA has approved deemed to be safe, that is far from being safe. Back in September, the company began recruiting its first human trials. Neuralink stated in a blog post that it was looking for people who had paralysis in all four limbs because of a spinal cord injury or because of other diseases. The company went on to say that it hopes to eventually make a device that will create a sort of symbiosis between humans and machines that would be called transhumanism, and will allow people to send messages or play games using only their thoughts. But first, the company says it hopes to help people with neurological disorders. Again, guys, this goes along with everything we've been talking about. You know, I wonder how many of those 22,000 people that signed up for this have some type of physical disability, neurological disorder, or something underlying factor in which they are desperate, and this is why they're lined up to take this thing. Do you guys see what's going on here? Are you awake? Vance, who authored the 2015 biography called Elon Musk, Tesla, SpaceX, and the Quest for a Fantastic Future, said in his report that despite an outpouring of interest from thousands of prospective patients, 22,000 to be exact, the company was still looking for its first volunteer, or, quote, someone willing to have a chunk of their skull removed by a surgeon so a large robot can insert a series of electrodes and super thin wires into their brain. The biographer stated that it would take a couple of hours for a surgeon to actually perform this procedure, and then about 25 minutes for the robot to insert the actual device, along with its ultra-thin array of about 64 threads. He went on to say that the device would replace the portion of the skull that had been removed, and Vance added that the threads were about 1/14 the width of a single strand of human hair. I want to pull this up on the screen so you guys can see a visual of this. This is what this would look like. So here you see, here's an individual. This is, I guess right here is where the part of the skull would be removed, I would think. And then they insert this device and it connects to the brain. Here is the electrodes that goes into it. The wires are connected. Again, the chip is designed to sit behind the ear, kind of like a hearing aid, while electrodes are threaded into the brain. Vance wrote that Neuralink had done 155 implantation surgeries using the robot on a variety of animal test subjects, including pigs and monkeys. But he said in typical Musk fashion, the billionaire had continued to push for the robot to move faster as well as for the surgery to be performed without human help. Listen to this. I want to pull this up here. Look at this quote. Again, the biographer said, quote, the billionaire, Vance quoted the billionaire saying Neuralink needed to pick up its pace, quote, like the world is coming to an end. God, again, you can't make this stuff up. To keep up with artificial intelligence and the possibility of an AI being that wouldn't be friendly to humans. So it's absolutely fascinating that these guys who are creating these things, these monsters behind closed doors, they all know that the implications of this, the repercussions of this, or could be absolutely catastrophic, but yet what is driving them to do this? I propose to you that it's Satan himself is behind a lot of this, and he is creating and masterminding and pulling the strings to create a system that the entire world's society will soon come face to face with, and they're going to be forced to embrace it, but there's going to be a mass majority of individuals that they will never have to be forced to take this. They will open arm embrace the mark of the beast and the image of the beast. And my friends, what we've just showed you is proof to you that we are indeed in the times of the end. And I want to leave you with Luke 21:28, as we always do. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things come into pass, it's time to look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Guys, do me a favor, right there above me, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, bookmark our site. Again, get our free app available on Apple, Android devices. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button so you can push this out. Please share this with your friends, your coworkers, acquaintances, neighbors. Let them know that time is running out and everything is now in place for us as a society to go headlong into the very things that the prophets have warned about for thousands of years, and that preachers of eschatology have been sounding the alarm. Watchmen have been sounding the alarm for generation after generation after generation. And now the time is here. The technology is available. Everything is coming to a climax. It's coming to a pinnacle, and time is running out. It's time to repent. It's time to get right. If you're straddling the fence, if you're lukewarm, if you're away from God, I give you the invitation right now. I pray the Holy Spirit of God would invade this broadcast right where you're at, right in your living room, in your office, in your vehicle, wherever you're at. I pray that he convicts you. He charges you right now in Jesus' name that you would repent of your sins and get your heart right with Jesus Christ. Because friend, time is indeed running out. And again, we want to encourage you to do that. I want to pray with you real quick, and then we're going to sign off on this broadcast. But before we do that, guys, listen, if this ministry is a blessing to you, it encourages you, it equips you, it informs you week after week, we want to encourage you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app. If you have the app, just go to the bottom where it says donate, or you can go on to the where it says support the ministry on the main website. Click on there. It's going to take you to an electronic page where you can give by PayPal. You can give by check or money, or excuse me, by a major credit card. You can give by Venmo. You can give by Cash App, or you can make it out by check or money order. You can make it out to End Time Headlines right there on the screen, P.O. Box 1391, That's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So again, we appreciate all of our partners and supporters of our ministry. Without your generous support, we would not be able to do what we do week after week after week, at least 4 days a week right here in these podcasts and informing you guys of the times and seasons which we're in. Come on, let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for those listeners and viewers of this broadcast. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would convict hearts. He would bring people to repentance. He would break people out of lukewarmness. I pray that people would be submissive and surrender to the will of God, that they would come to their senses, that they would wake up and know that the time is short. They would stop playing games and they would get right with God, and they would come back to the fold, or they would surrender their heart and their lives to Jesus Christ. We pray this today. I pray the Holy Spirit would have his way. I pray, Father, that they would make this decision and make the best decision that they could ever make. Lord, I pray right now for every partner and every listener of our broadcast. I pray that you'd meet every need, meet the financial needs, meet the physical needs, heal bodies, heal sicknesses and infirmities. Lord, restore marriages, restore relationships, restore businesses, restore, Lord God, relationships in Jesus' name. I bind every attack, every assignment of hell, every weapon that's formed against you. I declare that it shall not prosper. And Lord, we just speak the blessings of God over you and your family. And it's in Jesus' name all God's people said amen and amen. Listen, guys, we love you. God bless you. Listen, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here, same place, same time, same channel. We're in the studio with Bishop Larry Ragland of the Big Picture Podcast. We've got a great program lined up for you, so don't miss that. Again, that's tomorrow, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, and then we'll be back here Friday as well to close out this week of podcasting with another great podcast. So until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.